of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you. So this is John chapter 2, reading from verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you like to sit down, please? I always think that studying the Bible is a really good and a really healthy thing. And there are lots of bits from it that we really should try and remember. Some of those things being perhaps the Ten Commandments. So let's do a straw poll this morning and let's see how well you know your Ten Commandments. And I'm going to need some help from in here. So, would you like to come and join us for a moment? We're talking all about the Ten Commandments in the Bible. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out some of the commandments, and we're going to see which ones we know. There may be one or two in there that I have sneakily put in this morning. So let's see how well we know them. Is it written, "You shall have no other gods but me"? It is written. Hands should be going up. It's interactive this morning. "You shall not make false idols." Most hands going up. Well done. "Do not leave your dirty washing on the floor." There's one hand up over there. "Do not steal." Very good. "Do not desire to have other people's possessions." That's a good one. Yep, "Do not covet." "Do not argue with your brothers or your sisters." There's hands going up there. You would like it to be a commandment, wouldn't you? "Honor your father and your mother." Very good. Very important. Not just mothers and fathers, but in that we're honoring everybody. "Do not eat sweets before your tea." Dave. "And do not kill." Very good. Okay. I think we know them. That's really good. Just one more. "Don't be rude to your teachers." Ooh. Again, it probably should be a commandment, but we can take the one all about honoring parents, and that will do just as well. I'm really glad to hear that you know them. That's really good. If you want to carry on with your activities, then please do. Those Ten Commandments, They're not restrictions. Instead, they are things that set us free. And the religious authorities of the day simply didn't get it. They didn't understand that Jesus was talking about the temple of his body. 46 years that temple had been being built for, and Jesus says if they tear it down, this temple of his body, he's going to raise it up in 3 days. But of course, they didn't realize that he was talking about the temple of his body. Because for them, for the religious authorities of the day, it was all about business as usual. And it was business as usual on that day when Jesus showed up at the temple. All the animals were being bought and sold. The money changers were sat at their table, exchanging all the coins. All the people had their usual places and the usual things that they were doing in the temple. But this is one of those stories where we need to set aside a couple of things that actually don't belong because they distract. They distract us before we can really start to understand what's happening. Sometimes we need to set aside things that we've been told or thought in order to hear a story again, sometimes for the first time. Unlike some, I don't always think that the story of Jesus cleansing the temple is about him getting angry. Jesus, of course, could get angry. Well, I get angry. We all get angry. But that misses the point. There's more to this story than the perceived anger of Jesus. And maybe it's not about the animals or the money changers being in the temple. Jesus surely should have known that they were there. He grew up as a faithful Jew going to the temple, so of course these were things that he would have seen. But he didn't show up on this day and say, wow, look, there's animals being bought and sold and there's money being changed. I didn't know about all this. All this is wrong. Because the animal sellers and the money changers had always been there in the first place. That's how the system worked. That was business as usual. I think Jesus went to that temple on that day for one purpose, and that was to overturn business as usual. And there are times when we need the safe tables of our lives overturned, and we need stuff to be thrown out. It's just so easy to fall into the trap of business as usual, the same old, day after day. Sometimes we can push the autopilot button and life just becomes mechanical, going from one thing to the other. We go through the motions, we show up, but are we really present? Are we there? That's business as usual. But how about this? Have you ever smiled that everything is okay on the outside kind of a smile, but behind that smile, there's a real emptiness going on? We feel hollow, maybe our hearts are breaking. That's just carrying on with business as usual. Or maybe we wake up in the morning and we're feeling just as exhausted as we were when we went to bed the night before. That's business as usual. Have you ever felt like you just weren't yourself? Nothing seems right. Boredom gets in the way. There's no enthusiasm, there's no wonder, there's no imagination. It's still business as usual. Sometimes we look at the world around us and everything seems as though it's all in vain. We're busy, but we're not really getting anywhere. There's no depth, there's no meaning. It's just the business as usual. And that can happen anywhere. It can happen in friendships. It can happen in a marriage. Business as usual can even happen in church. But those are symptoms in the same way that the animal sellers and the money changers in the temple aren't necessarily the problem. They are instead the symptoms of something that's deeper that's going on. And the problem isn't so much as in the temple as it is in the human heart. And there are thousands of reasons and ways in which we can fall into the trap of just doing business as usual. Business as usual is often born of forgetfulness. We forget that we're really the temple of God's presence. We forget that all of creation is the temple of God. Whatever direction we might turn in, there's the face of God looking back at us. And as soon as we forget those things about ourselves, each other, or about the world, then life just becomes business as usual. And that's what was happening in the temple on that day. People weren't seeing themselves or seeing each other as being the true temple of God. Instead, it was all about what human beings had built. The animals, the coins, the stuff of everyday life. These people had forgotten that God was more interested in them as people than God would have been interested in their festivals and their observance of the law. And God wanted these people more than God wanted their offerings. And when we forget that we are the temple of God, life can just become a series of business transactions. The relationships, the intimacy of that relationship with God can become lost. Priorities get changed. Making a living replaces living a life. And life becomes a marketplace rather than a place for meeting God in ourselves and in one another. And that's business as usual. So over and over again, Jesus is all about interrupting. He's about disrupting. He's about overturning. He's about doing things differently. Jesus is all about throwing out business as usual. Business as usual is destructive of our lives and our relationships. It destroys our ability to join in with God already present in us and among us. The Word became flesh so that the temple might become human. Jesus continues to overturn and throw out the business as usual because the truth is there are still people who are hungering for him today. But there are still so many of us who root our lives in business as usual. Sometimes we don't even dare to do something differently. Empty and hungry people are still a reality in our world. There are still people waiting to be made alive in Jesus. So maybe we might for ourselves know what it's like to be grounded or rooted in that story. Maybe you might be feeling empty or paralyzed or hungry today. Maybe you feel like you need to be called to life. Maybe the business that's usual in your life needs to be interrupted and overturned. Regardless of who we are or what we've done or what we've not done, regardless of how we see other people or how we even judge our own lives, we, each of us, are the temple of God. And each of us is about the business of interrupting the business as usual. So what does the temple of your life need today? What are the tables in your life that need to be overturned? And what's sitting on those tables? What are the animals that need to be driven out? I'm not asking about what needs to happen so that you can become holy or become the temple. I'm asking so that you can see for yourselves that we, all of us, already are the temple. And we have a right to claim what is ours. Jesus doesn't make us into something we're not. Jesus calls us back to who we've always been. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.